If you don't know, that is Taylor Nagel, instructor, flight instructor at Moody Aviation. Thank you, Taylor. Yeah, wonderful job. That song we just sung, the church that my mother grew up in, they could not have sung that because they did not believe that. Our sins, which are many, his mercy is more. In fact, I've mentioned this before. My mother grew up in a church that believed if you died with any unconfessed sin, you took the elevator down. Yeah, you went straight to hell. And, you know, I've thought about that. What a burden, what a horrific burden to put on someone's shoulders. And so Mom talked about, she went home to be with the Lord last year. She would talk about going to bed at night just deathly afraid of falling asleep. Because if she had done something that she had not confessed, she knew that was a ticket to hell. And so she laid there awake, trying to replay every scenario, every person she'd talked to, every thought she'd had, thinking, you know, any angry words, any things that weren't quite true that I did, that I said, and confessing it all. And, you know, she would drift off to sleep while she's doing this, but had never quite finished. And always worried. Mom lived for years, scared to death that she would miss out on heaven and end up in hell because she had committed just one sin that she had forgotten to confess. I cannot even imagine that. Well, today I'm starting a series called Prepositional Truth. Now, some of you have heard of propositional truth, and some of you know about positional truth, and this is not a mistake. We're going to be talking about prepositional truth. I'm married to an English teacher. In fact, she has a coffee cup that says on the front of it, "I'm silently correcting your grammar." And she's done that for me. She always does it in love, of course, but yeah. And so she used to tell her students, a preposition is anywhere a dog can go. Over, in, under, around, across, between, next to, with, near, through. And today and next week, we are looking at one Greek preposition, dia. Dia. One word that means through, or it could also say it by means of. It's not so much a spatial term as it is an instrumental term, the means by which something is done. Now this term is used, dia, it is used 646 times in the New Testament. So this is going to be a long... When we're done this afternoon, I think the term dia is like a tunnel. It's like a tunnel. You're passing from where you are to where you want to be, hope to be, and you get there sometimes by means of a tunnel. And what we're going to see today is that Jesus is the passage. He's the way that takes us from where we are to where we would hope to be, where we would want to be, where we are, which isn't always a good place to be. I want to do two things this morning. First of all, for those who are already believers in Jesus Christ, when you leave today, I want your heart to be overflowing with joy and gratitude, immense thanksgiving for what he has done and what we have received. And what we will receive down the road. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope by the time we're done today, you would want to be. You would want to be. Now, you can't see the smiles all around you, but I'm trusting that they're there and that these people who the majority are sitting here have put their faith in Jesus Christ, are followers of Jesus Christ, and they are overwhelmed, and you can't help but display it in how you live and in what you say. So I want to divide this up into three sections, and we're not getting through all three today. We're going to finish this up next week. Looking, first of all, at past blessings that are ours because of what Jesus Christ has done, and then at ways that we are blessed right now. And you know, it gets murky. Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate entirely from past, present, but ultimately look at what Jesus is yet to do for us in the future. So, with that introduction, let's look at what have we received from Jesus Christ because of who he is and because of what he has done. And here's the first thing. We've been saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Saved. There's a wonderful verse. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:15. He's addressing Timothy, and he says, from childhood. And it's a word that means just even a small, one-year-old, two-year-old, Timothy grew up in an environment where he heard about Jesus Christ. You've been acquainted with the sacred writings. By the way, that would not include our New Testament. That would be the Hebrew Scriptures. New Testament wasn't yet written. From childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation. And here's our word, dia, through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus. We've been saved through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we use that word saved in a lot of different ways. You know how Paul used it here? Paul, when he used this term saved, he meant delivered from danger, rescued from peril. What was the peril? Well, obviously, it's spending an eternity separated from God in a place of punishment, horrible punishment. And Paul is saying, Jesus is the way, the passage. He is how we go from a future that looks like that to a future that is glorious. He's the one who delivers us from danger and rescues us from peril. There's another way we see this term used. We have been redeemed through the death of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, which is just such a rich chapter, Paul says, in him we have redemption, and here's our word, dia, through his blood, by means of his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. There's another verse that is very clear, Romans 3:24. We're justified by his grace as a gift through dia, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What's redemption? It's a term that we don't hear all that much anymore. We don't use all that much anymore. Redemption basically means to purchase something by the payment of a price. Jesus purchased us back from slavery to sin, to the devil, by paying the price. What's the price he paid? His death on the cross. Some of you know I enjoy going to thrift stores. That's kind of how my wife and I have a afternoon that we just go out and have some fun. Maybe get lunch and then kick around, look for thrift stores. And she always knows where to find me, in the book section. And I thoroughly enjoy looking for good used books. Some of them put in my library, some of them back in circulation here. Last year, I was in a thrift store, and I saw a book sitting there on the shelf, and I thought, oh, that's a good book. Recognized the title, the cover, and But I saw it had a library marking on the spine. You know what I'm talking about, down at the bottom there? Yeah. And so I took it off the shelf. I thought, I wonder what library it came from. Opened it up, and on the inside, I find a stamp, South Hill Bible Church. South Hill Bible Church. And I looked inside the back cover, and the library card was still there in the pocket. So whoever it was pulled it. Now, you know, I don't want any of you to go away feeling guilty today, but you know who you are, and so does God. So I bought it for $1.99. And I took it, you know, so I just thinking to myself, here's this poor book sitting on a shelf with all these other books that it had no idea who they are, where they came from. You know, could be felons that it's sitting right there next to on the shelf. And, you know, it's longing to be back on the shelf it knows at South Hill Bible Church with the friends that have been there around it. So I bought that book and I brought it back. And I put it in the return book place there in the library. What did I do? I redeemed that book. I redeemed that book. That is a poor illustration and a small way to visualize what Jesus Christ did for us. He's the way that we are taken out of slavery, the slavery that once dominated our lives, and given a freedom that we never could have had, we never could have imagined, we never could have enjoyed. He redeemed us. Here's another thing we see. We were reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Reconciled to God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God who through, there's our word diah, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation assumes that there are two parties that aren't getting along. They aren't talking. Things are not good. The relationship has, there's been a breach, a separation because of something that one has done or maybe both have done, angry words that flew back and forth or a slight, intentional or unintentional. Reconciliation means the separated parties have been brought back together again. And that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross and brought us back to God. We who had disobeyed, we who had rebelled, we who had thrust our fists, so to speak, in God's face and said, no, I'm not going to let you run my life. I know much better than you do or ever will how my life should be conducted. Jesus Christ is the way that breach, our breach with God, was healed, and we are brought back into a relationship with God without anything separating us from God, reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Another thing that we see, we were justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:16, Paul again writes, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification, what does it mean? That God removes from us the guilt and the penalty of our sin. Not only that, but he credits to our account. He imputes, is the word that theologians use, he imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. So here's what happens. We, with this growing weight of sin that we commit, you know, we sang that song earlier, My Sins, Which Are Many. And I don't think there's some of us who don't really believe that. Nah, I wasn't that great a sinner. In fact, God got a pretty good deal when I signed on. You know, I bring a lot. I bring a lot to the table, and he's lucky to have me on his team. A lot of us, we don't really think. By the way, that's just one more sin, you know. My dad used to talk about breaking your arm, patting yourself on the back. Yeah, we sin. It's not just in what we do, what we say, it's what we think, it's the attitudes that we have, our sins, which are many. Yeah, but his mercy is more. All of those sins God places, he placed 2,000 years ago on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but didn't stop there. Our sins were placed on Christ's account, imputed to him, and Christ's righteousness, the one who never sinned, the one who fully and only and always pleased his Father, we are credited with that. It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. How could we ever make up for all the wrongs that we have done? How could we ever stand before a holy God with this overwhelming debt of sin that we have run up year after year after year? It's only Jesus. It is only because of Jesus. Jesus paid what we could never have paid when he died on the cross and paid fully our debt. Totally. Nothing left to pay. He did all that, and then God credits us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when he looks at you who have put your faith in Jesus Christ, he does not see this overwhelming debt of sin. He sees us clothed in his Son, as righteous as Jesus is, perfect, holy, spotless. Us? Yeah, us. Unbelievable. There's another aspect to this. The Holy Spirit was given to believers through Jesus Christ. Given to us through Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in Titus chapter 2. This is one of my favorite passages. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. His mercy was more. According to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he, God, poured out on us richly, abundantly, graciously, freely, through, there's our word again, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. All the members of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all take up residence, indwell in you. Once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, they empower you. They live in you. They change you. They give new desires, new values, new strengths, new goals, a new life. That's the bottom line. We are given the supernatural life of God. Those who believe in Jesus Christ have been redeemed, reconciled, justified, given the Holy Spirit, and it's all by means of Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus Christ. That's what we have received in the past. Let's shift gears and look at what is it we are receiving right now. Right now, the second piece of this. What are we right now recipients of? And here's the first. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. Access to God through Jesus Christ. This is Paul again. In fact, you're probably only going to hear Paul this morning. And, you know, if you're a big fan of John, well, sorry about that. Paul writes this in Ephesians 2:18, for through him, and there's our preposition again. Through Jesus Christ, we both, and when he says both, he's talking about both Jew and Gentile. Both Jew and Gentile. Those who were part of God's people through the covenant with Abraham, and those who become part of God's people by means of that same covenant and by means of what Jesus did, the new covenant. Through him, through God, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. There's another passage. I don't know if I have this one. Yeah, I do there. This is Romans 5, verse 2. There's our word again, through him, Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One thing God's people in the Old Testament did not have access. They did not have access. By the way, before I talk about the Jewish people, let me talk about the Gentiles. If you were a Gentile and you went to Jerusalem, you thought, hey, let's go see the sights, and you went to the temple, there was a fence. There was a fence around the temple area there with a warning sign that said, if you're not a Jew, don't go any further than this fence. You might lose your life. Because you as a Gentile were inherently filthy morally. That's how they believed you were. And so there was exclusion. You as a Gentile had no access whatsoever. If you were a Jew, you could go beyond that fence. You could go beyond that fence and go further, but there's another fence. Maybe you as a Jewish father were bringing an animal to be sacrificed for the sins of your family, and you went up to another wall, but you handed that animal over the wall to a priest, a Levite, who then would make the sacrifice, bring you back some of the meat. But you couldn't go beyond that. It was reserved for priests and Levites to go beyond that. But you know, even if you were a priest and a Levite, you could only go so far. Once in a lifetime as a priest, you were allowed to go into the holy place in the actual temple, and you'd make sure that the oil was sufficient for the lamps that were there. Maybe you'd change the showbread, make sure that everything was good, the way it needed to be in that holy place. Once a year. In fact, that's what Luke chapter 1 is all about. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, who was chosen by lot to go into the temple and pray and do his work there. That was the highlight of his whole life, to be able to go there. But there was a place he couldn't go. There was a place that only the high priest could go once a year, into the Holy of Holies. The Jewish people believed that the presence of God, they believed he was everywhere, omnipotent. Read the Psalms. Yeah, he's the one who made and inhabits the heavens and the earth. But he specially is right here in the temple in Jerusalem, in the holy place, in the Holy of Holies. That's where he is. And once a year, a high priest would enter that Holy of Holies and place blood there on the mercy seat. It was all about not access, but denial of access. You can't go here unless. You can't go here unless. You can't go here unless. And what happened the day that Jesus was crucified? Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 27 that the curtain, a thick curtain in the temple that walled off the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it was torn in two from top to bottom. And the curtain probably was 20 feet tall. What's Matthew telling us? No human did that. No human did that. It was God himself who rent that curtain in two and opened up the way to his presence. Access. Access. And so we read here, Ephesians 2:18, through him, Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access in one spirit to the Father. Romans 5, through him, Jesus, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Jesus Christ made a way to the very presence of God for those who previously had no access whatsoever. No access whatsoever. We have access. If our faith is in Jesus Christ, we have access into the very throne room, the very presence of God. By the way, just a side note. The Jews believed that if the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and was not right with God, zap, God would immediately strike him dead. And then they got to thinking, well, if that happens and somebody else then goes in to rescue him, zap, you know, you got this pile up of people. So they tied a rope around the ankle of the high priest before he went in. So if it became apparent, we're not hearing anything, there's no movement, we can haul him back out without too many others being slain. Jesus Christ made a way to God for those who previously had no access. What else? What else do we enjoy right now? We are God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 5, he, God, predestined us for adoption as sons through, there's our word again, Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. We who formerly were enemies, alienated from God, under his wrath, because of Jesus Christ, we who once were enemies have now been brought into his family. It's not just that we're friends, we are family members, adopted into his family, given a place at his table, made his sons and daughters, never, never to be disowned. You know what that means? That which you are most ashamed of, that which, if there any way possible, you would go back and redo that day in your life. If you could have a do-over, you'd rewrite that chapter. You know what? God does not hold that against you. He's not going to disown you. He's not going to say, when you prove to me that you're serious about this, then come and talk. Until then, no. In fact, the next thing we see here, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. The previous barrier that our sins had made between us and God, it's been removed, it's been taken away. There's no animosity, there's no wrath, there's no hostility on God's part toward us. Instead, it's replaced with peace, and we are beloved sons and daughters. It doesn't stop there. We have peace with God. We also are given victory. Our victory over sin and death comes through Jesus Christ. This is the end of 1 Corinthians 15. The whole chapter is about Christ's resurrection and our resurrection with him. And Paul comes to the end and he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What victory? He's talking about the victory over the condemnation for sin that the law brought about. But Jesus Christ, he did away with that. Victory over the fear of death that Satan has used against humanity for centuries and generations, because Jesus defeated sin and conquered the grave, we too share in his victory. Victory over sin, victory over death. Doesn't end there. We are forgiven through the death of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7. I've read that already, but I want to read that again because I think the through here goes two ways. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Both redemption and forgiveness because of Jesus Christ, because of what he has done. You know, there's more, but I'm just about out of time. And you want to have lunch before too long. So we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up here next week. Victory over condemnation for sin that the law brought. Forgiveness through the death of Jesus Christ. Maybe that you are like my mother, living in just terror of the fact that you're not a good enough Christian. Maybe you think, like my mom did, I got to keep myself saved. I got to keep myself in the boat, not realizing that Jesus did everything possible. In fact, he did everything necessary to save you fully, to save you eternally. He gives you access. He makes you his beloved child. He gives you peace with his Father. He gives you victory over sin and death. He graciously and freely forgives you all your sins. It's all because of Jesus. It is all through Jesus. It's all by means of Jesus and my Father, whose theology was better than my mom's. He explained that to my mom. Then they got married. She learned to trust that Jesus alone is enough. Jesus alone is enough. What Jesus did for her, that she was fully and freely forgiven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe we need to pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that what you did for me when you died on the cross and rose again was enough. I could never add anything to what you've already done. Today I rest alone in you and your work for me. Thank you for doing everything necessary, everything possible. Amen. Amen. We don't have to add. We can't add a thing to what he did. Maybe that you're here today and you have not, you're listening in today, and you've not ever put your faith in Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better time, a better place than right where you are. You may want to pray in your heart something like this. I'd encourage you, do it today. Stop trusting that you will ever do enough, ever be able to do enough, to make yourself good enough, to have a place in heaven. Simply put your trust in Jesus and trust that what he did for you, what he did in your place, was all that God could ever have asked. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe that Christ died for me and rose from the grave. I trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for your forgiveness and everlasting life I now have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you have prayed either of those prayers today, the elders would love to pray with you if that would be something that you'd want at all to do, to talk with you more. Maybe you've struggled like my mom. with this load of sin and guilt for years and have never thought, could God actually forgive me? If today you put your faith in Jesus Christ, boy, if you're watching online, I'd encourage you, write a note. There are people online who would love to communicate with you. Or if you're here, outside or inside, and today you put your faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be down front. I would love to have the joy, the privilege of praying with you before you go today. Dia. Through Jesus Christ, by means of Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. It is all because of Jesus. We don't bring anything with us, anything good. What we do bring is our guilt, our sin, our helplessness, our hopelessness, our utter despair. But you don't turn us away. You take us as we are, but you don't leave us as we are. We thank you today for your grace. We thank you that though our sins were many, your mercy is more. Amen and amen.